The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential. But finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
National headlines
and the local stories you care about.
WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330,
FM 106.3.
Time right now is 8:30. Good Friday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. This morning, we're on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. You can see my handsome young guest. He's one of two candidates running for the soon-to-be-vacant, or I guess it'll never be vacant, House District 71 seat for the state of Georgia, currently held by Jay Collins, who chose not to seek re-election, did not qualify this year. So two Republican gentlemen have qualified, and one Democrat gentleman has qualified. The Republican primary, general primary, the early voting begins on Monday. It's a three-week period of early voting before Election Day, which is May 21st. The two gentlemen who are on the Republican side, whoever wins that, will challenge Kwasi Hudson in November for the general election. My guest this morning, Mark Latanzio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And this is not the first time the guy's been on the program. I was aware. I remember at least one time, but it turns out it was probably two times he was on the program than a decade ago. I ran for office and took a little hiatus before deciding to get back into it.
I did.
But tell us a little bit about yourself, though, Mark.
Well, I got a background in law enforcement. I started my career in law enforcement at Douglas County Sheriff's Office. I was there for about 10 years, and I transferred, came over here to Carroll County, worked for another about 10 years, not quite 10 years, and then after that, I went to Temple Police Department, where I currently work today.
Is there a specific focus? Are you in investigations, or?
I've done a little bit of everything throughout my career. I've worked in the jail, the courts, a school resource officer here in Carroll County, investigations at Temple. So I've done the wide gamut of everything. So,
and you are about to graduate college.
I am. I walk May 11th. So it's going to be a big milestone for me. It's something I started about 10 years ago, part-time, working full-time, going to school part-time. So it's been a long time coming, but I finally get to walk.
Was that eye-opening? I mean, if you've been doing it for a decade, I guess, you go back to college and did you still have those tools and those skills to focus on studying and getting down? Did you have to relearn all that?
I had to relearn a little bit of that, especially the math. I actually did pretty good in math, but I had to take some refresher just to make sure that I could still do some of the math. But I actually made an A in algebra. So.
Well, there you go. And you're actually going to walk. You're not going to blow it off.
I'm not going to blow it off. I've earned it, so I'm going to walk on it. I'm not the oldest guy there either, so.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
It's political science, right?
Political science, concentration in pre-law, and then a minor in criminology.
Okay, and already in law enforcement. Do you see political science? Does that have any benefit to law enforcement at all? Do you see that?
You know, they've kind of merged political science and criminology and sociology all in one college now, so they kind of overlap. So there's a lot of overlap, history, the American government.
There you go, yeah.
So, in sociology. So, you deal with people, you deal with all the aspects of that. So, absolutely.
One of two Republican candidates for the District 71 seat, start the new session in 2025, would serve two years for this House seat, whoever wins that this year. Is this a seat that would you have challenged Jay Collins if he didn't decide not to seek re-election?
No, I would not. He's a popular guy, and
hard. Let him hear that. Oh my gosh,
it's hard to beat an incumbent. So absolutely not. But when he decided to not seek re-election, it was a good opportunity for me to put my hat in the ring. And this is a seat I ran for in the past, and I feel better prepared for it now than even then. So
know what it takes a little bit. Yeah.
Absolutely. So. A little bit more experience, a little bit wiser. So,
what was there? Was there a specific issue that you saw coming through being discussed on the legislative level here locally? Something that's been in the back of your head for like 2 years, or you just jumped back into paying attention to all the issues?
Well, I try to pay attention to a lot of things, but when you're off, you're off a little bit. You're focusing on work, trying to finish school, doing those type of things. But there's always issues. Most of them are localized here, in Carroll County. So I try to pay attention to what's going on in Carroll County and focus my issues on that. But everything the state does can impact, local issues as well. So I always want to be mindful of that as well. So
Mark Latanzio is one of two candidates running for the District 71 State House seat, which is currently held by Jay Collins. I'm assuming you've done some campaigning, maybe some phone calls, door-to-door, maybe forums, talk to potential constituents. What are you hearing are their biggest interests or concerns? And do you feel like the public is educated on what the actual job of a legislator, a state legislator, is? Are you seeing them bring up issues about, the holes in my road and things like that as well?
You do get some people that, they talk about the roads and the conditions, or they talk about big, big things that, people in Washington would on a national level. So, but most people are pretty smart. They know what's going on, and they pay attention to what goes on in the state under the Gold Dome. So,
and what are they pointing out to their biggest concerns and the ones that are talking about the
biggest concerns that I've spoke with, I've learned from people was they're worried about the drug epidemic and the criminal aliens. That's to me one of the two biggest topics that people are talking about. When I talk to folks, when I knock on their doors, they're concerned. They really are concerned about the drugs and the illegal criminal aliens coming across the border.
Are they having a problem with legal immigration at all? Are they saying, hey, let's shut down the doors and not let anybody else in? Or
shut down the doors, and if they want to come here, then they can do it legally.
Do it legally. They're not opposed to immigration.
No,
itself.
They're not.
They
just do it the legal way.
Yeah, all right. Mark Latanzio, our guest on this morning's Community Voice. And I did mention this to you, talked about it while we were talking before the program a little bit. 30 years in law enforcement?
Yeah, just over 30 years I've been doing law enforcement.
How many times do you recall, I don't even know if you can estimate the number in 30 years, but, seeing someone who was in the U.S. illegally arrested for a minor offense and then only, see that they're only let go. If it's a minor offense, I guess over the last 30 years at least, the process is you call ICE, you let them know, and if they don't get to it, you have to let the person go.
You have to let them go.
Constitutionality.
That's right.
How many times do you think you've seen that happen?
Oh, hundreds of times. Yeah. In 30 years, there's been a lot of people you can come in contact with. You arrest people that are here illegally. You notify ICE. They don't want to put a detainer on them to hold them. Sometimes it depends on the crime. If it's a big major felony crime, then absolutely. But if it's something misdemeanor, they're not going to do anything. Family violence, DUI, traffic offenses, stuff like that. They're not going to hold them.
And it's federal call. It's constitutional. Can you do anything on the state level to change that, or do you think it needs to be changed or addressed?
Well, I think they just mandated where the sheriffs now have to notify, but they don't put the funding behind it. So it sounds good in theory, but there's no funding to back it up, and I don't see the national government come in here with buses because they'd have to park a bus at every jail in the state and have it on standby if they're going to ship these people out and deport them.
So. Immigration was talked a lot about during this legislative session. Small steps. You talked about that one. Do you expect that'll be revisited next year in different topics and different directions? Do you think enough was done to start and wait and see how that works out?
I think they're going to probably just start and see, wait and see, and see how things are. Like they didn't put in place something to, a mechanism in place to get these people out. I mean, if you're going to mandate that every sheriff in the county is going to hold someone and notify ICE, put a detainer on them, then they need to come and get them. And I don't think they're going to be able to do that. And that's going to be on a national level. Mm-hmm. So
the fentanyl issue, that's been linked to illegal immigration.
Absolutely.
Talked about that last 3, 4, 5 years. But we go back 15 years, when meth was a big deal, or even, I don't want to say LSD, but heroin, things like that. Were we attributing those to illegal immigration as well, or were those, was that happening here? Was that being...
I think a little bit of both. I mean, obviously you have meth labs localized in the area, but a lot of that's coming up through the border as well. So now you have fentanyl coming across the border, and it's coming from China, and it's coming up through Mexico, and it makes its way up through here. And it's sad that when you have an AED machine on the wall in certain areas that you have to have a Narcan dispenser too, and that's the thing now. And it's really sad. I keep Narcan in my car to help people that may have overdoses, but I save one for a fellow officer because you never know if he has any contact with that. You accidentally touch it, you can overdose.
Mm-hmm. And that was one of the first things when we were talking about that really just stuck with me about that Narcan. I mean, you need it for the officers.
Right.
If somebody just blows it in your direction, or if you touch it or something like that, it really could. It's that powerful.
As
far as the fentanyl. Are we, I don't say if we're done dealing with meth, but I mean, as far as that being a gigantic concern, are we past that?
No, I don't think so. I think that meth is still a problem, just like marijuana is a problem. You can't go anywhere anymore nowadays without smelling it somewhere. Mm-hmm. You pull up to a drive through at the bank and you get a whiff of marijuana. Someone's always smoking something. So
would you not be in favor of legalizing marijuana?
I don't know. Probably not. It's illegal. If you legalize it, they're going to find a way to tax it.
And I think that's that could be the only selling point for a lot of people.
Sure,
you could tax.
And then of course, then you got people smoking it and driving. You can be impaired. Just like a DUI with alcohol. So it's just another drug that, I'm sure there's other states out there, but it causes a lot of problems. The states that have legalized it, the states surrounding those states, they have, more people now are getting caught with marijuana in those states.
Yeah, crossover, sure.
So it's causing a lot of problems.
Well, Mark Latanzio is one of two Republican candidates for the District 71 State House seat. Before we do go to the break, remind me what the boundaries are for that District 71, because they have changed over the last year.
They've actually carved out a lot of the Whitesburg area. So it's like Lake Seton area all the way up through Carrollton, all the way Sharp Creek, all the way up through Temple, and then all the way over to the Villa Rica. So it used to be in Douglas County, a little section of it, but that has been carved out as well.
Okay, so there's no Douglas County?
No.
Okay. Again, Mark Latanzio, our guest. If you have any questions or comments, I do encourage you to go to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page and post those. And, we have thousands of people who watch these Community Voice programs. May miss it when it originally airs, but feel free to post comments and questions there. And Mark, I encourage you to go there and perhaps answer them.
Sure, absolutely.
If you get a chance. And I mean to tell all of our guests that, because we still, I see people putting stuff at 10 o'clock in the morning there, and I'm like, well, shoot, that's over, you missed out. But hopefully you get a chance to go back and review those.
I will.
If somebody does put something there. So we will take our first break right now. Time right now is 8:42. Steve Graddick's pushing the buttons. Joel Brock is running the camera this morning. We'll have more Community Voice after this.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. you've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
I've 844. Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest is Mark Latanzio, one of two Republican candidates for the District 71 State House seat. Sean Paul, who's a candidate for District 5, Carroll County Board of Commissioners, checked in. He said, go, Mark, go. That sounds like support to me. Thanks for checking in, Sean. Again, Mark Latanzio is our guest this morning. One thing that was discussed a lot in this past legislation legislative session and in a lot of legislative sessions over the last several years is gambling, sports gambling. There's proposals put forth every year and little changes made, and it's just never ended up being approved. I think this year, the majority of people thought that they were going to at least present an option to voters.
Right.
Have you followed that at all? Is that important to you? Should that be an issue? Is that something that they need to keep looking into?
It's not anything that I do personally, but I know, I believe it became an issue because people do it on their phones, so you just download an app and you can bet all day long, and Georgia's not benefiting from it. So
that's what it comes down to. They want the tax money.
I think they just want the taxes from it. Yeah. Of course, the side effect of that is people get addicted to gambling, and that can cause problems in the communities. It can break families apart. It can cause people to spend their life savings or their retirement funds. So those are, if you look at the statistics from other states that have it, those are some of the side effects that are negative that impact gambling. So I know there's horse betting and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, I think they put that on the ballot to see what the people think. The Republican caucus, I think, they want to know.
I guess it's been one of those questions, right?
I think it's one of those questions.
And is it going to be on the general? I know that the Republican caucus has like 12 questions on this general primary. Is it on there again?
I don't know if it's on there. I think I might have seen it.
I probably need to take a look at that sometime. I could probably do stories on that. Those.
But I know it's been talked about a lot. And, most of the people, when I knock on doors, they don't like it. Right. So
Do you see yourself, if there was something in the bill, what would need to be in the bill for you to approve it? I mean, something like more care facilities for treating addictions or...
I don't even think we have enough for the problems that we have now for care. They need more bed space in hospitals for psychiatric people, to be evaluated. And they're always backed up and backlogged. It's hard to find bed space. The state of Georgia this year has approved more bed space, I think 111 beds throughout Georgia. But that doesn't equate to about, 8 beds per hospital that can do psychiatric help. And I think there needs to be more. So now you just add and compound the problem even more with that. So I don't know if the resources are there yet for it. Mm-hmm. So
Medicaid, Georgia's one of the, 12, 15 states?
Right.
That hasn't given the full ride on that. I don't know how much that was even brought up this year. But, where do you see is Georgia's responsibility for looking into that more and fixing that if it can be fixed?
Well, as far as if whatever's made off of it, they could earmark a little piece of that to go towards, the care and help of other people. Mm-hmm. So,
but as far as people who could benefit from being part of that, Georgia just hasn't fully committed to it.
No. And Colin, I don't really know that much about it. I have to do a little more research on that one.
Okay, perhaps we'll see. So, perhaps we'll see people talk about it. I know the last I heard that they were looking at a plan, I believe that's being done in Arkansas. Maybe Arkansas is another southern state that Georgia was seemingly in favor of duplicating or taking little bits out of. So, but I guess we'll see where that goes. School vouchers. that's been a discussion for about a decade, and
right.
took a little step towards that this year. It doesn't really impact us locally here, I don't
it
think,
doesn't.
And I think everybody's agreed when I said that. But, you know, as far as the step they took this year, do you think that's good just to dip the toe
so.
In the water? And do you think that's something they need to continue looking at in the future?
We took a step forward towards that. I said, let's see where it goes from here. You know, people have choice now if, you know, before we don't have that problem here in Carroll County, but it's obviously an issue in other areas. So now it gives people choice. And I think sometimes when you give someone choice, whether they want to homeschool or put their child in a private school, then I think that'll help them out.
Georgia's receipts for the last 4 years, last 4 months, I'm sorry, as far as revenue collections, they've gone down for the last 4 months compared to, and they're significantly down compared to this time last year. But it seems like Georgia's been giving us money back, you know, in rebates and in our taxes over the last couple of years as well. I mean, looking at the way that's headed, are they going to, I mean, are we going to having to pay that money back in some way, you think? And was that worth it to make us feel good for 2 years when you're going to stick it to us here in another year or so?
Well, that's the problem. You know, normally I like when you give money back because it's the people's money. And so when you can give that money back to the citizens, then I believe you should. They had a surplus this year, so there was a lot of special projects being funded. And that's all good when everything is good. But when the economy has a downturn, are you able to fund those projects? Are you able to fund that? And that's the problem. So hopefully they did it, you know, strategically so that you can fund new things and everything changes and everything progresses and grows. So there's not a problem with increasing something as long as there's a need for it and you can maintain it even if in a down economy so people don't lose their jobs and the programs dry up. So
do you see any places in the state's budget, because obviously that's one of the big things, if not the big thing, that legislators are required to do, do you see anything in that budget that's kind of bloated that you wouldn't mind seeing snipped or question why it's there or why we're spending this much on that?
I'm sure there's a lot of things that could be snipped out of there. I haven't seen anything personally. I haven't looked at the budget line by line, you know, itemized. But I'm sure there's some things that could be rearranged or, you know, reallocated somewhere else in that budget.
Jay Collins, he's the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee.
Public Safety,
Homeland Security Committee. And obviously you won't get to pick what committee you want to be part of next year, but what would you hope for? What do you think that your talents and your skills would better serve you? You know, the 50 committees that are out there, I'd say obviously public safety
and Homeland Security would be a good fit. Mm-hmm. With over 30 years of law enforcement, you know, under my belt, I would say that'd be a good fit for me as on a committee. So
time right now is 8:50. We'll take our first break here. Now, before we do, you have a Facebook page or anything so people can reach out to you?
I do have a Facebook page. It's Mark Latangio, House District 71.
Okay, you can find that on Facebook.
Absolutely.
And
I have an email address on there and a phone number.
Very cool.
I believe in accessibility.
The first day of early voting begins on Monday. For the first 2 weeks, you can only vote at the Carroll County Elections Office, which is the former WGTC building. I believe the first two Saturdays, that'll be wide open as well. The third week of early voting, you can also vote in Villa Rica, Powell Park. That's what, so they'll have two places to vote on that third week. And again, Villa Rica is part of that District 71.
That is correct.
Yep. And then Election Day is May 21st, and you will only vote at your regular polling place.
That's right.
Come back with about 8 minutes. My guest is Mark Latanzio, one of two candidates running for the District 71 State House seat. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice, News Talk 1330, FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest is Mark Latanzio. He is one of two Republican candidates for the District 71 State House race. General primary voting begins. Early voting on Monday. Election Day is May the 21st. The winner of that Republican race will take on Kwasi Hudson, the Democrat, and that'll be on ballots in November. First Tuesday, second Tuesday of November, right. Whatever date that is. But talking about this race right now, the Republican race, Mark Latanzio, my guest. Judd Howard was on the program Wednesday and interviewed him for 30 minutes. So if you missed any of that show, I'm not sure it's up on our website right now, but I'm pretty sure it's up on our Facebook page. If you want to go back and compare the candidates, obviously Mark is on the Facebook right now. So you can sit down and plan a party for 1 hour and watch them back to back. And, you know, make a good decision before you do go out and vote. Again, early voting starts on Monday. You represent District 71, covers Villarica, city of Villarica. Right. And city of Villarica was in the news a good bit from, maybe September of last year, February, March, into April of this year. Just chaos. I don't think I'm hyperbole saying chaos in Villarica. Jay Collins stepped in and put together some new legislation, which was passed by legislators. Did it need to get to that point where a legislator needed to step in and make some changes to
adjust that? I hated that it did have to get to that point. You know, I think that's a local issue that should have been solved locally, and it shouldn't have been a problem to begin with. But I think he came in and changed a little bit of the charter, kind of modified it some. So hopefully now things are starting to settle down and the dust is starting to settle. So
what was the attempt to better define it? I mean, if you look at any of the charters, though, locally or any place, I mean, they are kind of ambiguous. Just using the word shall or may and things like that can totally change an interpretation of the charter.
And I think even the city attorney in Villarica, at one point, said it was one way, and then, a week later it was a different way.
That was alleged. Somebody allegedly said, one of the city council people said that, he said that.
Just a big mess is what it was. Yeah. So I'm glad, the dust is starting to settle.
Right.
And
they can go. I mean, that can hurt you for a long time.
Sure.
Going on like that for the city. But
people always remember the bad. They never remember the good.
Right.
And so hopefully they can look back and look at all the good that's been going on in Villarica and the good that's going to come to Villarica. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like to focus on good, not the bad. So
does this district have Temple in it?
It does.
Does it? You keep up with I haven't heard complaints about the trains in a long time. Doesn't mean they're still not stopping there, but that's been an ongoing issue.
It's
with the trains stopping.
It's still an ongoing issue. They stop. They block the intersections. And I think Temple's the only city between Atlanta and Alabama that doesn't have a crossover bridge or a passover or flyover bridge. And it's a problem. You got schools on the other side.
Just a different. Well, I mean, so what about Villarica?
Villarica has a bridge.
Do they? Where's that?
It's right between Liberty Road.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're right. Okay.
It's a little out of the way, but they got one. So in Temple, they don't. And a lot of times they block the intersections, the railroad crossings. And unfortunately, if there's a medical need across over there, you got schools over there. Those things are a big concern, and it's been a big concern of mine for a long time, and I'm sure it is with the city officials there too.
And Norfolk Southern owns the world. I mean, they own all that property. I mean, there's no real challenges that the state can do. But I would assume that you'd have to be, to seek money to maybe do a bridge for Temple or figure out the grading on that. Because their train tracks are pretty close to the building. I mean, downtown.
The
downtown building, so it's a little harder to grade that, to make that happen.
Maybe they would have to do something like what Villarica did and move the mm-hmm. a flyover bridge somewhere else, not necessarily in downtown, but maybe a little over, at least to have it accessible where people can get across. And so absolutely, you'd have to get the money for it. You'd have to partner with Norfolk Southern. The state would have to get together transportation. And And it'd be expensive. So.
All right, we've got about 3 minutes here, Mark. Let's get a little personal. Where do you like to go in your district? Where do you like to hang out in the district? Your favorite places?
I like to eat all of them. So I like to visit all the restaurants. unfortunately, I probably gain weight from eating so much. But I do like to eat. I work in the district. I live in the district, and so I serve in the district as well. So I hope I can continue to serve in the district in a different capacity. But I enjoy eating all the restaurants. I go to the amphitheater down there in Billerica. So I do a lot of stuff.
How about somebody local that we might recognize that you turn to for guidance, or somebody who you trust to give you good advice on things? I mean, because you may not know everything when you go up there, you know, to the state. And there'll be people up there you can talk to. But, you know, maybe you want to ask somebody, you know, close here for some advice or something. There's somebody local that we might recognize who you trust for things like that.
Well, you know, someone asked me that the other day about a particular question, and I didn't have the answer 100% for them, and it was a school-related type of question. So obviously you'd rely on people that have, you know, expertise in that particular field. I don't know all the answers. I don't have all the knowledge for everything, but what I can do is seek that knowledge from people that are professional, that know what they're doing. So if there's a problem, I go to the right person to get the what I need to know.
And no problem doing that.
I have no problem doing that. I can reach out to anybody and get whatever needed to get.
Mark Latanzio, one of two Republican candidates for the District 71 State House seat. Early voting begins on Monday. Election day is May the 21st. Judd Howard is the other Republican candidate who will be on the ballots for this race. Sir, thank you. And thank you for breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
This has turned into a racket, this breakfast. We love it. You talk about, you know, you like to eat and stuff. And
that's right.
Putting
you got to
eat.
Weight.
Man, me and Josh have easily put on like 10 pounds in the last few months since we started this faux mandate for breakfast. But
right.
Thank you very much. Joel is eating as much as us, but he's actually lost weight.
He's out, lost weight. There's some breakfast over there.
Good to see you.
Good seeing you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to this morning's Community Voice program on News Talk 1330. On Monday, Steve Graddick, I believe, is back in this seat. Is that accurate, Mr. Graddick? And I believe Mike Crane is the guest. Tonight at the Carroll County Courthouse, there is a forum for the congressional third district congressional seat, and also District 5 candidates at the Carroll County Courthouse. That starts at 5:30 today. It could run all night. It could turn into a big party. So if you can't make it at 5:30, come by at 6. And thank you for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend.
National headlines
and the local stories you care about.
WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330,
FM 106.3.